they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. Silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. Take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cause for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief. Hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. Give our lives for people need the Lord. People need the
Well, what a blessing, huh? Wasn't that wonderful? What a true song. You stand on the corner, you look around you. Everywhere you look, people need the Lord. Isn't that true? I hope you've been burdened. I hope the Lord will burden your heart and you'll be soul conscious of people all around you that need to hear the gospel. They cannot go to heaven. They cannot be saved until they first hear about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful song and well presented with the flute and arrangement. That was just great. Maybe by the time I come next year, you'll have a whole orchestra here, brother. Huh? And they'll add to all of these people. Boy, it's just great to see how God is blessing. And I'm thrilled at all the things I've heard and seen with my eyes since I've been here this time. And just keep up the good work. Amen, amen. We've had a good day. The Lord has blessed. Enjoyed being with Brother Andrew today. We sort of chum together and did a little sightseeing and looking around and seeing some things. And so we just have a good time, and we're always going back and forth about Bible, talking about Bible and Bible questions and all that. So we love to fellowship together. He's my dear brother. I love him and love all of you too. It's just good to have you here tonight. I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I tell you, it's just so encouraging to see this good number here on Tuesday evening. We welcome you to our service. It's just good to have you. And don't forget, one more night. That'll be tomorrow night, Lord willing. Unless the Lord leads otherwise, who knows? He may just lead us to go right on. Wouldn't that be great? A continued revival. Huh? I've been in a few of those since I've been evangelist, but you never know what the Lord's going to do. And we're just praying. All right, the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's stand, please, while we read verse 10 and verse 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want you to notice verse 10 for our text. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let's think on this subject tonight. How to love life and see good days. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be good to have a good day every day? Wouldn't you like to have that? Huh? Well, I'm going to tell you how tonight. I'm going to show you from the Bible how you can enjoy living and how you can have a good day every day. Are you excited? Are you thrilled? All right, here we go. Let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for these that have made that special effort to be here tonight. I realize folks have worked all day and different things they've been involved in, and I know they're tired, and yet they've made that special effort to come to your house. And Lord, they're hungry for the word, and I pray you'll just help us now to say what needs to be said, and whatever the need is here tonight, physically or spiritually, I pray you'll meet that need, and your will be done in every heart. That soul that may be here that's lost, oh Lord, speak to them, quicken them, point them. May the Holy Spirit point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh Lord, let no one leave here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Question number one, is there anyone here tonight that doesn't love life? Huh? Hey, listen, don't ever get to the place where you don't enjoy living, you don't enjoy loving life and appreciate what the Lord has done. You know, to me, every day is a precious day, a golden day, an opportunity to serve the Lord. I have been saved 69 years, been a Christian, and the Lord called me to preach 56 years ago. I've been preaching. And as an old preacher once said, I would love to be in the field at sundown. Now, what he meant was he'd like to be preaching when the Lord takes him home. He'd like to be busy in the work of the Lord until God is through with him and takes him home. And you know, that's my feeling tonight. That's what I mean. I want to be occupied with the Lord, with the church, with the Bible, with preaching until the Lord is through with me and takes me on home to glory. You know, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me, apart from being saved, boy, that was a wonderful day. August 20, 1949, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Jesus came into my heart that day, saved my soul, give me a new heart, give me a new life, give me a change of mind. Everything about my life was changed from that day forward. That was a wonderful day. And then in getting married 53 years ago, marrying my wife, boy, that was just wonderful. We've been happily married all these years, and the Lord has wonderfully blessed us. But you know something? The most wonderful thing that I've experienced And I never have understood why this has happened. But the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me is when God called me to preach. I am sure glad he did. I love what I do. I love preaching. I preach almost every night. And I thank the Lord for the opportunities that God has given me and offered to me to serve him. And I tell you, I love it. I love what I do. I love serving the Lord. I love being with God's people, even though I love my wife. And I'd love to be with her tonight. And I'm going to be gone several weeks from her. And I love my family and I love my homeland. But you know something? I just love being with God's people like you all and fellowshipping with you and being in the homes of people like this and just mixing together. You know something? I have met more preachers. I've probably been in more churches. I've preached in more meetings. I've traveled more miles. I've wore out more cars than I can count. And you know something? I'm glad I'm still living. I'm glad I'm still on the top side of the green earth. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to be alive and serve the Lord and all. Now, listen, I am not a psychiatrist. I'm not a philosopher. I'm a Baptist preacher. But I'm going to show you tonight in the Bible, if you'll follow with me and if you'll keep your Bible open, I'm going to show you from the Bible seven ways, and I'm not going to be all night doing that, seven ways in which you can love life and have good days. Notice my text. It says this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. He that will love life and see good days. Now watch this. It says, let him. Each one of these seven things I'm going to give you from the Bible that is mentioned is introduced with that same phrase, let him. And he that will love life and see good days, let him what? Well, then the Bible goes on and tells you, if you want to love life, if you want to see good days, here's what you do. Simple as that. If we'll just follow the Bible, if we'll follow what God has said, you can love life and you can have good days. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Get your pencil out, whatever you do, but mark your Bible and you follow God's way tonight and you can accomplish what I'm talking about. First of all, the very first one, the first way to love life and see good days is here in our text, verse 10. Let's look at it again. For he that will love life and see good days, watch this, let him. Notice I said every one of these are going to begin with let him. So what should you do if you want to love life and see good days? Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So the first thing you've got to do if you want to love life and if you want to enjoy living, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to learn to keep your mouth shut. Huh? Amen? There's a lot of people, they say things when they shouldn't be saying. They talk when they shouldn't be talking. And they talk too much. They say too much. You know something? In our idle hours, we gossip. We carry tales. We judge, we cut people down with our tongue, we talk about other folks and all of that if you're not careful. And so here's a warning, if you want to love life, watch what you say. Be careful with your tongue. Be careful what that tongue has to say. The first basic principle of loving life and seeing good days is to be careful what you say. If you want to hurt people's feelings, if you want to lose friends, if you want to leave a trail of enemies behind you, just disobey this verse right here. And then he goes on for the second part of that. He says, and yet your lips speak no guile. In other words, guile means covering up. And if you're not careful, sometimes we try to cover up our sins and we cover up. Maybe we say things and then we try to cover it up again. And so he's warning us here that be careful with your lips, that they speak no guile. Just watch what you say if you want to love life and see good days. Number two, the second thing we do, look at down in verse 11, same chapter, and we'll be right here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4 for these seven things. But the second one is in verse 11a. Note he says, again, let him. See the phrase, let him? I told you each one of these begin with that phrase, let him. Let him what? Let him eschew evil and do good. And so if you want to love life and see good days, you've got to eschew evil. You know what that means? You know what eschew means? Okay, watch this. I'll show you. Achoo! That's eschew. You know what I did? I just blew germs all over you all and out of my mouth, right? That's eschewing. In other words, get it out. When you sneeze, you get out the whatever it is in your throat or in your mouth or whatever. And what he's telling us here is you need to eschew evil. Get away from evil. Run from evil. Get back as far as you can away from evil. You know, a lot of professing Christians, they want to see just how close, how much they can do without sinning. Just how close can I get, preacher, and not sin? People always asking me questions like, is it wrong to dance? Is it wrong to drink alcohol? Is it wrong to smoke? Is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? No, the Bible says here, just get away from all of that. If you want to love life, if you want to see good days, eschew evil. Run from evil. Get away from evil. Young people especially. What a warning this is for you as well as all of us here tonight, that we're to avoid evil, separate from evil, start out on the positive side, away from evil, not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. If you're saved tonight, you're a Christian, Holy Spirit dwells within your heart, then your desire is that you don't want to be around evil. Does your spirit bear witness with your spirit inside of you when you're in a place where there seems to be evil, when you go in a place where there seems to be, you know, some evil spirits and evil, do you have that feeling? Boy, I don't like it. That's the reason I don't like to go in certain restaurants to eat. Ooh, there's a feeling in there, you know, loud music and beating and banging and all of that, you know, and people drinking and all. You like to be around that? My spirit, it doesn't bear witness. I feel awful. Horrible. And so we're to eschew evil. This is our job. This is what God has called us to do. Avoid any of that. Avoid being around anything that's evil. That's the reason you've got to be careful about what you watch on television. There's a knob on that. You know, you can turn it off or on. And we as Christians, you be careful what you see because it dwells in you later. And so you have to be careful about what television. Be careful with your computer. Be careful with internet. Did you know it's possible to pull up just about anything you want to see today? Huh? Isn't that true? And even children. There's no limit. There's no age limit on it. It's terrible. I mean, what has gone on in the world as far as communications are concerned in that way? It's wonderful that we have the good technology. It's wonderful that we can use it for the Lord and all. But you know something? Some have used it for the worst. So be on guard. Be on guard with your cell phone. Be on guard with the people that you mix with and people that you fellowship with. Be on guard against those folks that do not want to serve God and want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a warning. Eschew evil. Get away. Back off of evil. And then the other side of that, let him do good. Hey, how long has it been since you did something good for someone? Huh? Do something good. That's wonderful. Find something good to do for somebody. Do good for them. Somebody needs help. Somebody, that's hungry. Somebody that has problems financially and all. Sometimes it's good just to help them out. You ever done that? You ever done, just do good. Just do something good for somebody. Help somebody a long life's way. And somebody said, will that help me? Will that help me to love life and see good days? The Lord said it would. Do good. That's what I just read to you, right? Let him do good. If you want to have a good day, if you want to enjoy living, find something good to do for others. Oh, what a blessing that is. All right, number three, the third thing, how to love life and see good days, look at verse 11b. That was verse 11a. Verse 11b of 1 Peter chapter 3 says, and in this verse it tells us, let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace. Let him seek peace. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, he said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we're to work at that. As Christians, we're to work at living peaceably with all men. Don't have enemies. Do your best to not make enemies a long life's way. One way to love life is to seek peace. Be at peace with every man as much as in you is possible. And of course, that's also true in your own home. You know, lots of homes are fussing and fighting and screaming and yelling, all of those things. Hey, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker in your home. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, friends, it's so important to live peaceably. And one way to love life is to seek peace. Be at peace with every man as much as possible. Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount. He said that we're to love your enemies. Huh? Who said that? Well, the Lord said that, didn't he? Love your enemies. I have problems loving my friends sometimes, much less my enemies, don't you? And yet here's the Lord. He says, you want to love life. You want to enjoy living. Love your enemies. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? To love your enemy. And then he said this. He said, bless them that curse you. Wow, that's hard to do, isn't it? Bless them that curse you. You ever had a good cursing out? Huh? Somebody really give you a good cussing? I served aboard a United States submarine in the Navy. And, of course, the language on a submarine was not the best. And but anyway, I remember one night we were stationed in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor. And our submarine was tied up at the dock, and it was nighttime. And so they were playing war, you know. This was peacetime, of course. I was on the submarine, and they were playing war. And so we're going to go out to sea that night and play war. And so we had to get underway at dark, at nighttime. And where we were berthed, that submarine was berthed in Pearl Harbor there, it was a real narrow channel. And those submarines were tied up with each other, lined up against the pier and all. And so we had to get underway. And the captain, of course, was on the bridge. And he's in charge of all the things that happen on a ship. And if he bumps something else or if he runs in to another ship, he loses his command. So he was very nervous. And it's dark outside and we're getting underway. We normally didn't do that. And then I was an electrician. And we had a ground, electrical ground, on that submarine when we got underway. And so we had to locate. That's one of the most dangerous things you can have on a submarine, on a ship, is an electrical ground. So we had to locate that ground. And we had this big electrical panel, and the way we would locate it would be we had a meter there and just start shutting off things until you found what it was that was grounding it. You shut it off, and that needle would bounce up and said, there it is, we'll go fix that. So we're looking for this ground, and I'm here at this board. And the chief of the boat, he's right behind my neck, and he's hollering and cussing, and he made me nervous and all that. And so I'm turning off this, and he said, turn this off. And so he yells at me to turn off something else, and I reached up, and I got the wrong switch, and I turned off the running lights outside. Running lights. All of a sudden, up on the bridge, and the submarine, captain's nervous, they're backing out. Getting ready, he has to twist that submarine to get it out of that channel. All of a sudden, all the lights go out. Oh, my goodness, he had a fit. He came on the PA, said to me, who the blankety blank, turned off those running lights? Well, there was silence about a minute, and then somebody spoke up and said, Jonesy did, sir. And then he started again. He said, send that blankety blank Jones to the bridge. And I'll never forget, as I went up through that conning tower, those men were patting me on the back and said, Jones, you have had it, boy. You are headed for the brig. I just made the third class. They said, you have lost your stripe. You are done for. And I knew I was. And when I come up out of that conning tower onto the bridge, the captain was standing there, and he got right up in my face, and he cussed, and he cussed, and he cussed. And he said to me, he said, as long as I am captain of this submarine, he said, don't you even go near that switch that turns off the running lights. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He didn't take much driver. He didn't bust me, but boy, I'll tell you what, I got a good cussing out. And I thought to myself, well, why didn't I do like the Lord said? You know, he said here, bless them that curse you. Why didn't I say to my captain after he got through cussing me, bless you, brother? You know what he would have done? I know what he would have done. He would have taken me out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He would have made me a lookout on that submarine, and he'd have sunk it right in the middle of it and left me on the bridge. That's exactly what he would have done. But the Lord said this, I'm telling you, if you want to enjoy living and love life, live peaceable with all men. The Lord said, do good to them that hate you. Wow, that's another hard thing to do, isn't it? Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. But these are all instructions, and if you want to love life, just live peaceably as much as possible, Paul said, as much as possible within you. Live peaceably with all men. Oh, it's so important in our life. You know something? He that will love life and see good days, let him ensue peace. You know what that word ensue means? Pursue it. Work at it. Work at it in your home. Work at having peace with your family. Work at the place where you labor, or your job. If there isn't peace there, if you have problems with those around you, work at living peaceably with them. Work at the thing. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Ensue it. Work hard to make peace if you want to love life and see good days. Number four. Look down across the page. That is my Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 11a. Verse 11a. And again, Peter writes and says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or as the word of God. You know something? Our lives are to be seasoned with the word of God. I mean, my life, my conversation, the way I live is to be seasoned with the Bible. That's the reason you need to read it every day. That's the reason you need to memorize it. That's the reason you need to meditate in the Word of God. Because here's a clear instruction that we are to fill our lives. We're to fill our hearts and our lives with the Word of God. When you speak, quote the oracles of God. Quote the Word of God. Saturate your life. Saturate yourself with this blessed book, the Word of God. Get familiar with the Bible. Get familiar with Bible terms such as amen. You men ever said amen? Huh? You men practice it. Well, I'll tell you what, you all go home tonight and you men get before a mirror and you just stand there and say amen. And do a little louder. Amen. See how it sounds. Then a little like, hey, man, you know, boy, you talk about making your preacher preach. Ooh, boy, that's like seek him to a dog, boy, when you start hollering, amen. And you ladies, I tell you what you do. You practice, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll make him preach. I'm just saying get familiar with Bible terms. What about the word hallelujah? You ever said hallelujah? How about praise the Lord? That's a good one, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what you do. Next time you get down here in the at the grocery store or something, and there's a big, long checkout list, and you pull up there with your cart, all of a sudden you just stop and holler, well, glory, hallelujah. Show your hands up like, people, get out of here. Good night. That person is great. You just walls up there and just get your checkout. Be nothing to it, right? Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My wife and I was in a restaurant the other night, and the manager came around and he was checking to make sure everybody was enjoying it. And he said, was your food all right? Was everything all right? And I said, amen. He went, My wife said, you shouldn't have said that to him. I said, that's part of my language, you know. That's all I know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, get accustomed to those words. You know what the Bible says? We're going to say hallelujah when we get to heaven, right? Oh, look at Revelation chapter 19. There's four hallelujahs right there at the very beginning. We're going to say hallelujah. We're going to say amen. I tell folks everywhere I go, it's going to take us Baptists at least 10 or 15 years to get used to heaven. You know why? Because they shout up there. They praise the Lord up there. They say amen up there. They say hallelujah up there. And so here's a good way to get familiar with all of those things. We live in a generation that's given over to profanity and obscene language. You know, every once in a while, we need somebody in the crowd to say, well, just praise the Lord, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Isn't that good? Oh, yeah. That's the way to love life. I'm just telling you, this is what the Scripture teach, how to love life and enjoy living. So Something else, number five. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11b. Look at verse 11b. If any man minister, let him, here's that let him now, let him do what? Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. If any man minister, I am a minister. I never use that particular word necessarily. I call myself a Baptist preacher, but I minister. I've been an evangelist now for almost 36 years. I used to be an assistant pastor for 3 years. I pastored a Baptist church for 20 years. You might say I minister in that. I minister and I visit the sick. I still do that. I minister in that I marry the living. I minister in that I help bury the dead, preach funerals. I minister and I go soul winning and passing out tracts. Now, not all of us minister in the same way. Some are evangelists. Some are pastors. Some are laymen. Some are just wonderful Christians like you. We all are different, but we all can minister. We all can minister. You probably couldn't get up here and preach and holler and bang the pulpit like I do and all of those things, but you know, God has something for you. The Lord has something for every person here tonight that is saved. He's got a job for you, and you can minister. You can be used of the Lord. And let me tell you, there is nothing as rewarding, there is nothing as comforting as being used of the Lord for His honor and for His glory. Oh, it's wonderful. Just a wonderful thing for the Lord to use. I've often asked myself, and I've often asked the Lord, boy, why would you use me like you have? Why have you chosen me to do all of these things? It's just wonderful to be a minister. Yeah, that's what you all of us are. And this is how you love life, is get involved. Here this church is, and they need your help. I noticed the Brother Andrew needing choir members and the pastor needs people to help pass out these leaflets and things that are coming up this next few weeks and all of that. There's something you can do. Find out what you can do and use it and do that and just see how wonderful it feels. It is such a glorious feeling to be used of the Lord and to do something for God and know that the Lord has given you that opportunity that you can minister and serve Him. You know, we are to be satisfied with serving Him and putting Him first. That's what satisfaction brings us. Just get busy and use that ability that Christ has given you for His honor and for His glory. Will you do that? Will you dedicate that to the Lord right here tonight? Right now, just whatever, Lord, I can do, I want to do it. I may not be able to teach Sunday school. I might not be able to sing. I may not be able to do certain things, but Lord, I know there's something I can do, and I want to do it for you. And that's the joy of serving the Lord. All right, number six. Number six, what? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, down at verse 16a. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him, there's that, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed. If anyone suffers as a Christian, you don't have to be ashamed. Now, we live in a day where there's not the kind of persecution that has gone on seemingly in days gone by, although there is some persecution, hard persecution in certain countries even today if you are a Christian. But you know, most of the time in our day, in our society, it isn't that, you know, being put in prison or being punished in certain ways, but it's the peer pressure. Boy, we're always under that peer pressure. You know what I mean? Peer pressure. People all around you. Boy, he acts strange. He reads his Bible. He bows his head and prays before he eats his sandwich. You know, people always, you get, sometimes you get the feeling like, you know, the peer is there, the peer pressure, and you sometimes get ashamed of serving the Lord. Well, listen, if you're a Christian and you're doing what God has told you to do, you don't have to be ashamed, right? You don't have to bow, hang your head low or anything. If you suffer for doing right, if you have pressure for doing right, if there's something because you're doing it, when you live right, and you act right, and you dress right and you go to the right places that Christians go, the prayer pressure may be there, and especially in schools today, that's true. But if you suffer as a Christian, you don't have to be ashamed. Amen. This is how you can love life. This is how you can see good days, is living for the Lord, serving Him, putting Him first in your life. Then last of all, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16b, let Him glorify God. If you want to love life, if you want to see good days, whatever the cost, glorify the Lord. Let's just glorify the Lord tonight. How can we do that, preacher? How can we glorify the Lord? Well, first of all, you can glorify the Lord in your service, serving Him faithfully, being a faithful servant of the Lord. That will glorify the Lord. That brings glory to the name of the Lord. Just be faithful to church. Just be faithful with your giving, your tithing, and giving to missions. Just be faithful of reading your Bible every day. Just be faithful to carry a leaflet in your pocket and passing those out to certain people that you get an opportunity to witness to. In your service, just glorify the Lord. What a blessing it is to just be a servant of the Lord and bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then another way you can glorify the Lord is just being subjective to the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. If you're saved, if you've really had that personal experience with Christ, you've come to that place where you trusted Him and Him alone to save your soul, you really know tonight that you're born again, you have Jesus in your heart, then the Holy Spirit lives within you. And you know what that Holy Spirit is there for? He's there to direct your life. He's there to show you where to go. He's there to show you what to do. He's there to help you to say what needs to be said. Let the Holy Spirit have full control of your whole being. That's being filled with the Spirit. That's what it means is when you get saved, you get all of the Spirit. But so many times He doesn't get all of us. We don't yield everything to Him. But when you yield all you have, everything you have, you yield to the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to wear today? Holy Spirit, which way do you want me to go to work? Holy Spirit, who do you want me to talk to? When you yield yourself completely to that Holy Spirit, you're glorifying the Lord, bringing honor and glory to His name. And then another way you glorify the Lord is not only our service, but our subjection to the Holy Spirit, but also our suffering. Lots of people suffer. They have different diseases, different things wrong with them, and pain and all that goes with it. Some horrible pain, awful suffering and all. As a pastor, I used to, of course, I visited all my sick people and everything. And I remember I had one lady, she was a shut-in. She hadn't been able to walk in several years, and she suffered terribly. She had a crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and her little hands was all drilled up, and she couldn't hardly shake your hand, but she'd rub it and all. And I'd go visit that woman and do my best to cheer her up and to encourage her. But when I left there, she had cheered me up, and she had encouraged me. There was, in her suffering and all that she had gone through, she was always glorifying the Lord. There was always somebody in worse shape than she was. She never complained about how bad it was. She never complained about how awful the Lord had treated her and all of that. She glorified the Lord in her suffering. And you never know when you're going to be called upon to do that. You never know what God has for you. But one thing for sure, we can love life and we can see good days. Here are seven things that God says in His precious book a Christian can do to love life and see good days. Here's what we need to do. Let the Lord lead you and bless you right to the very end of your journey until the Lord calls you home. And of course, that day will be a glorious day. Just be faithful to Him. Can you do that? Let's stand to our feet for a moment. Let's bow our heads. And of course, the first step, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, but the first step in enjoying life and seeing good days is you must be saved. You must be born again. You must have had that personal experience with Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight and you're not positive, you're not sure about where you're going to spend eternity, the Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know tonight that you're saved and going to heaven when you die. Perhaps you don't know that. Oh, the first thing you need to do this evening, right where you stand, right here tonight, realize that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And he suffered all the hell that you and I would have had to suffer throughout eternity. And there on that cross, he shed his precious blood. For 6 hours, he suffered all the awful, awful suffering. But when he finished and paid the price for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he was buried. And then 3 days later, he arose from the dead, never to die again. That's our Savior. And when you come to that place, you realize I need the Lord. I need the Savior. And you ask him to come into your heart. You ask him to forgive you of your sins. And you're trusting him and him alone as your Savior. That moment he comes in, your heart is clean. And a new life, a new way of living. Tonight, if you've never done that, I urge you to do that right now. And then in just a moment, I'll have the pastor stand here and I'm going to ask you to come and take him by the hand. Here tonight, publicly, profess your faith in Christ. Maybe as a Christian, you've drifted from the Lord. Some of these things are not true in your life. Maybe you are saved, you're a Christian, but you're not living for him like you ought to. Maybe there's things in your life you ought to get right tonight. Perhaps you need to come. Just get down on your knees here at the front, maybe. Pray. Pastor's here. His wife is here. Others are here. We'll be glad to help you, counsel with you. Anything we can do to help you tonight. But whatever the Lord leads you to do, would you be willing to do that? We'll give you that opportunity. Let's pray, and then we're going to invite you to come and do what God leads you to do. Maybe you need to join the church or follow the Lord in baptism, whatever God speaks. Just say, "Lord, here am I. I'll do whatever you want me to do." Dear Lord, we thank you for the word of God, how powerful, how sharp it is. Thank you for these folks that have listened so intently. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless them now. Help them to take this lesson. May we leave here tonight with a desire in our heart to love life and love serving you and living for you and enjoy living a life, a Christian life. Speak to hearts, whatever the need, meet it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As our pianist plays, the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. Pastor's here. I'm here. If you need to come, you come. Do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Will you come?